Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses. I'm literally dizzy. There was a second there when I sat down. I felt like the room was shaking and I was going to fall down. And I'm still here to do this interview. And I'm going to go out and interview a buddy of mine on stage at a conference. And I will just keep going until I literally collapse, because I believe that I'm not going to collapse. And if I just keep pushing it, I feel like I'm going to get the most out of life. I wonder what my two guests feel about that. I saw their campaign for a journal that's not supposed to help you understand your feelings and write down all the different things that you want to accomplish in the day and in your life, but help you achieve a sense of flow. And they come from this place of believing that we're pushing ourselves too hard, that we're trying to achieve too much. I don't know about that. I think I think I'm at the most capable of accepting that message that I've ever been in my life, and still I'm not ready to accept it, but I'll ask them about it. The two guests are a returning Mixergy interviewee, Chad Moretta, and a friend who's been here to drink scotch with me and used to live in the area, Arman Asadi. They are the co-founders of Project Evo. They've created a personalized journal that will help you unlock your focus and flow. It connects with this mobile app, and you can't even buy the journal until you understand who you are and what your right way of getting into flow is. That's their thing. I invited them here to find out how they're actually selling a physical product. And if they just say, hey, you should set up a Shopify store, I think I'm gonna laugh, because there's no way. There's so much more to it than that. All right, this interview is sponsored by two phenomenal companies. The first will help you hire great. It's called Top Talent. I had this great experience with an entrepreneur about them. I've got to tell you guys about them. And then the second will get you designs. Get me design. Look at the way I've been dressing over the years. Look at my backdrop. I suck at design. They got me beautiful design. It's called Design Crowd. How are they even back? I thought they canceled. We'll find out. All right, Chad, Arman, good to see you here, guys.
What's up?
What's up, brother?
Hey. Hi, man. How much revenue? 2018, what did you guys pull in with this?
A little over 1.2, I would say like 1.25 million.
Wow. How much of it was profit?
We broke even.
You did?
Yeah. We pretty much put it all back in.
Arman, actually, Chad, I've been thinking so much about your interview that I did with you years ago. Yeah. It was, you had these apps.
Yep.
You also had a course on apps, and the course did a lot of money. And at the time, I remember thinking, that is impressive, over $1 million from this one launch. And the more I thought about it, it was over $3 million.
Yeah.
From a launch. Oh, okay. The more I thought about it, the more I wondered, was there any profit in that? Or does that all go to affiliates, Facebook ads, basic salaries, and then you end up with very little? I swear, this has just been going through my head for years.
Yeah. I mean, it is, you know, every business has its own profit margin, right? So on that launch, yeah, we definitely, it seemed like 3 million. Wow. You don't get to take all of that. Obviously there definitely is affiliates. There definitely is marketing costs and team costs. I don't remember exactly what we made on that one, but it still was about $500,000, you know, take home.
You or to we, meaning you have to split that with multiple people.
No, that was me. Yeah.
That was just you. Okay.
Yeah.
So you do have swagger. Profit. You know what? You both have swagger. I feel like Arman has swagger because I think because you know how to express yourself really well.
Oh, thank you, man.
Chad, what is it with you? Where's your swagger come from? You're the first person I saw in San Francisco who I recognized. I was going into the BART and you were coming out, right?
Yeah. Great memory.
So I got to see you even when you weren't prepared to be seen. And I felt like even there you had the swagger in BART. Where does it come from? Is it from money? Is it from experience?
I think he's done some shit. He's done a lot of shit.
Like, is that what it is? Like what?
I think it's just confidence, and because I have tried a lot of things. I have had businesses in, you know, 6-7 different industries. And I just think I've gone through a almost near death experience. Or once you survive that, you just have a thirst for life, you know, and it's not
honestly.
Yeah.
So like what? What's an example of something that you do that Arman does not do because he didn't come close to death?
It's a great question. What do I do?
I was trying to like go through the videos that you had to get a sense of it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're realizing now it's more brain type than anything, but I would say getting out in nature. I would say just like getting out in nature as much as I possibly can, because yeah, that's my happy place. You know, that's a must for me.
Where you're saying like you come close to death and now you appreciate nature and give yourself more time to be in nature?
Yeah. I don't appreciate it more. I'm just more aware of how much I appreciate it. Yeah. And I make it a must to go and actually spend time in nature for sure.
I don't feel like that's where swagger comes from. Armand, what am I missing? If we were drinking scotch, what would you tell me?
What would I tell you about Chad's swagger?
Yeah. Does it come from dating? Does it come from having money in the bank?
True, but I think that like we all come with our own baggage and shortcomings and insecurities. And I think often what people see is the swagger. And that's what we hope to exude often than not. And it's also a core part of ourselves. For me, what I see in the core of Chad that brings his swagger is that if he thinks it can happen and he believes it, he will make it happen no matter what.
I can see that. And he'll look at you with full confidence. Where does that come from?
Well, I just don't know many people that have been like, I'm going to be friends with Tony Robbins, and they go do it. I don't know many people that say, I'm going to be on 60 Minutes, and then they go do it.
What does it mean that you're going to go be friends with Tony Robbins? You know, someone's told me here in an interview that he like was friends with Warren Buffett. I happen to have Warren Buffett's assistant, his secretary's email address. I emailed her. I said, is this true? She gave me enough of verification. I'm going to have to check with Tony Robbins to see if you're friends. Are you guys like buddies? You're hanging out, or you just saw him once or twice?
No. It's a relation. It's not a buddy. I'm calling him every week, but you know, Tony, amongst other people, are people that you know I volunteer for, and I do have a relationship with, and I try to help out. They're always on the top of my mind because of what they're doing in the world. He changed my life more than anybody. You know, okay. So for me, I have this like deep spiritual connection where it's like I just want to give to somebody like that.
Okay. I know this is where some people will listen to my interviews, go, Andrew, you just get too much into gossip, too much into personal stuff. I feel like that informs who we are. Like Armand, I feel like the fact that, and I'll get into business and how you guys are selling these journals and where it comes from. But I've got to ask you, you're saying you came with your own, we all come with our own baggage. I had no idea about your baggage until I talked to our producer, saw his notes.
You're right.
You had a terrible upbringing, a nasty divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, you started mowing lawns and doing things like that. Is that right?
Yeah, the power of your pre-interview.
Yeah, man.
Well, just
Brian Benson, he's good.
I think we're all just like, everyone has their stuff. And we live in a society now where I think if you try...
No, don't go society. Go to you. Like, I'll tell you for me. The fact that my parents could not afford to give us health insurance and they were always worried that we would take little risks and then fall down and then they wouldn't have health insurance to pay for it, that informed my determination to always have enough money to have health insurance for myself and my kids. And I'm working like a madman all the time to never go back there. What about you, Armand? The fact that your parents went through a divorce, how did that impact you?
Yeah, well, no, what I was going to say was that I think we live in a day and age where nobody wants the success without like what actually, where did you actually come from? Like, give me the authentic truth of who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that we as a society, what I was going to say is can smell through that very quickly. Like that was bullshit or not. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I chose to share that in the pre-interview. Yeah. I mean, my parents had a really, really, really nasty relationship. They're two incredible people that were just not destined to be together. They're both amazing human beings. And thank God they're so much happier now because they're both remarried to new people and they're in happy relationships. But what it did to me was like, I couldn't depend on anybody because I wasn't being paid attention to the way I should have been. And I also wanted a sense of security for myself. So I literally have, I don't even know how many jobs I've had. I don't even know how many industries I was in. But I just did it all, man. I started mowing lawns, like I told your producer, by the age of 7 or 8. I worked at Jamba Juice. I was in a skating rink. I worked at Nordstrom. I sold used cars. I did mortgages. I did door-to-door sales. I mean, I've been told no and fuck off and these types of things more times than I can count my entire life. And a lot of the work that I did was like commission-based, so I had to make it work. I just got used to making things work.
Why did the divorce lead you to do that? Why did you feel like, you're saying because you felt like no one was taking care of you, you had to take care of yourself from the beginning?
Yeah, we also had very little. You know, once my parents got divorced, we were living off basically my mom's income with a little child support from my dad. And we were living in an extremely wealthy area. We were the poorest people in the neighborhood. And so for America, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm in heaven. You know, like you're in the top 1% in the world. But in my neighborhood, I was the poor kid. You know, I was the kid that was taking donations from other kids and their families.
Literally so, donations.
Yeah, we got donations on. I remember I was on a soccer team. And one of my teammates' moms, who knew we weren't doing well, came over with my teammates' old stuff and donated it to us. And I cried and celebrated in the house.
Wow.
Like joy that I got like this old stuff that to me was like super high-end Nike amazing stuff. And these are the things that I think I don't think about often until a producer asks me that have driven me, you know, for most of my life. Well, and what I will say onto that, because I know him, I'm obviously best friends and business partners. I'm even realizing this. We call him Wolf. Like, he's a wolf. So he comes in, and if something isn't, like, I've seen you do this so many times, whether we're waiting for a table, whether we're doing a business deal, whether we need to create a product, we have a deadline, you have this fire about you. Maybe it's swagger that you're talking about, where you're just like, this is it. I'm going to make it happen. And I'm going to come with that certainty, and I'm going to lead. And so what that tells me is that actually made you a leader and someone that stands up.
Yeah.
And you guys look like high school friends, but that's not how you met.
Right.
No.
Chad, you were blogging. That's what connected you two?
No, we met. I was still at Google when we met.
Yeah. I was launching my book.
And he was doing App Empire.
Yeah. Yeah. Launching my book.
And my roommate worked with you.
Yeah.
My roommate, Jason Adams, did the marketing for Chad. Mm-hmm. And we were just hanging out. I invited him to my birthday party on a party bus.
Epic. I was like, okay.
And then that was kind of the beginning of our friendship. We were friends for years before we ever worked together. We went to the World Cup. We in Brazil. We traveled the world. We've been to a ton of countries together.
Yeah, we have.
And you were just friends first, and then you had this idea for a planner. Who had the idea? How did it come about?
Well, no, first we had a different idea.
What was that?
I had an idea for a book that I had no idea I was going to do with anybody. And I presented it in this mastermind group, informal mastermind group that Chad was in. And we went on this friend retreat together. And I talked about a book that was going to radically shift the workplace and that was going to help people actually find fulfillment in their work. Because I was very passionate about that after having worked a ton of jobs and not being fulfilled. And there was this light bulb moment for Chad and I where Chad came up and was like, dude, I've written a book traditionally. You're saying you want a traditionally published book. You're saying you want to go this route. You're laying it out in such a linear A to Z fashion with all these steps. Why don't you just go like this? He literally drew a line on my board and was like, why don't you just go like this and then like this and like this, and I'll introduce you to this guy, and then we'll do the book together, and I care about that. Why don't we do it together? Why don't we make it better by doing this assessment that goes with it? And blah, 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 blah. And then next thing you know, this multi-year journey started of like writing this book together that pivoted into the company Project Evo.
See, I have to admit, I thought the reason you guys got into journal is you saw what Catherine was doing with Best Self.
We didn't really know journals until we started doing market research.
We're not a journal company. That's the first part. That's, I think, why. We're not like, this is our whole business. It's just one. That's where we started.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's why. Yeah.
But you feel comfortable starting there because you saw that people were making money on it?
So no, Chad was working on this. So we were in the middle of all this work on this book, and we had this multi-year process of developing an assessment. We took that assessment, and Chad started thinking about things on the side, and he started thinking about working on a planner. And then he kept thinking, like, why am I not doing this with Armon? Like, why aren't we just merging all of this into one thing? And so we went to Summit at Sea together, and that's when Chad was like, yo, like, what we're doing is much more than a book or a little side hustle or, you know, a lifestyle business. We need to build a company. I'm working on this planner. We have this assessment together. We need to merge this all into this larger mission.
Yep.
I think when I talked to John Lee Dumas about his book, I got it. About his journal, I got it. All of his friends were writing books. People don't read books. And then once they buy it, they're done. John comes out with a journal and you buy it, and then you buy it again every 3 months because you want to keep writing in it if it works for you. And while you're writing it, even if you do a few different pages, you get his process of, and it's more impactful than reading a book and planning at some point in the future to use it, right? Yep. That's the thing that I didn't pick up on when he first said to me. Well, when he first said it to me, I thought paper. Who wants paper? I missed that whole thing. Did you feel that too? All that analysis that I just gave right there, Chad?
I mean, for me, it's always been about, we're in a different age right now. So technology, being able to actually have this area where not only can we understand about ourselves, but we can finally use technology and AI and machine learning to help us actually be more of who we are. So I looked at it as data. I looked at it as, I don't want to be a journal. I don't want to just write it and people forget about it. I want to find out what are the key data points that I can actually understand about my customers so I can give them that extra 1% to make them continue the process. Because we all want to do what we need, know we need to do. But the problem is the planners and journals, you stop doing it, and then now becomes another, you know, relic in your living room. So I think that was their opportunity in learning what I did with apps, be able to learn, you know, the dopamine and be able to learn the triggers with the people and help them actually use the product. So
you're saying the way that you learn to make your apps more enjoyable, you apply that methodology to the journal, to your process, and also to your own app. Let me talk about my first sponsor, and then we'll come back and understand what the product became.
Yep.
Because I keep calling it a journal, and even before this interview started, I saw your faces as I called it a journal. It's like inappropriate, Andrew. All right. First sponsor is a company called Design Crowd. I'm surprised, guys, that Design Crowd is back to sponsor it all this year. I don't know what happened. Here's the deal with Design Crowd. I can't do design in any way. All I do is admire people's design in every way. Like, I'm looking at your jacket, Chad. I'm looking at the fact that Armand's hair is perfectly coiffed. I like the necklace. I don't have any of that. Even the shirt that it took me forever to pick out this shirt, and this guy at Nordstrom had to give it to me. He also told me to get these shoes.
Oh,
you like them? My wife says they make me look like a male nurse.
Swaggy.
But I like them. These jeans have spandex in them, but I still, they do look good, but you should have seen the effort, and it's not my effort. It's the guy who picked it out for me. Anyway, it's tough, but design has a big impact on the way that we think about people, and more importantly, the way that we think about products. If you see my podcast cover art, and it looks kind of crappy, like something I made at home, which is the way it used to look, you don't think as highly of my work. And so forever I wanted good design. I didn't know how to explain it to a designer. Every time you talk to a designer, they seem like they think that what you've got in mind is stupid. And it probably is, because you don't know how to express yourself. And then they create their own thing, which is completely disconnected and expensive. Then I went to Design Crowd. One night I was drinking whiskey. Olivia was out of the house. I filled out their form. I said what I needed. It turns out within like 3 fields, I was able to express what I wanted. I think they know how to probe you, how to get you to like come back with something. I basically said, copy everything that works for Planet Money for me, but put my face on it. Because Planet Money was the number one business podcast. I got a bunch of different designs from designers all over the world. The one that was a little bit different, I actually looked at and said, I think I like this best. I asked him to make a change. He made a change. Boom, I paid for it. I only paid for the one that I like. And I had no agita. I wouldn't have had to pay for anything if it didn't come out right. That's the promise of Design Crowd. If you're out there and you want good design, you owe it to yourself to go to designcrowd.com/mixergy, because you're going to get a big discount that you only give to me. Oh, no. Oh, I went to the wrong URL. designcrowd.com/mixergy. And it's super inexpensive. So here's why they're never going to come back. They charge too freaking little. And then on top of that, I'm at the link. They save up to $100 off by using my link. How are they going to make enough money to pay for my ads? I swear my ads are not inexpensive. TopTal, who you'll see talk in a moment, of course, you're hiring somebody. They have enough of a margin to pay me. How is Design Crowd going to when they charge peanuts? Dude, charge more. Or maybe, I don't know their economics. They probably have to compete with others. They can't do it. But they're a good company. You're never going to see them advertise again because they charge too little. Go to designcrowd.com/mixergy while you can. We must have missed an ad for them last year, and so this is a makeup. Great freaking company. All right. The idea was what? Like, if at its essence, and then let's get into the marketing of and the creation of it, because I know that it's not easy to create this stuff. The idea is what? That if we understand ourselves, then we could do what to get to where? How would you explain that?
I think the idea is that with all the education that's out there around how to be more productive, how to be more effective, how to do anything, it's always subjective. Based on the learnings and the research and opinion of the person that you're learning from. And even tools that are developed are cookie cutter, to use a, you know, kind of simple phrase. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean? It means that it was not personalized and designed for the way that your mind uniquely works. Our research showed us that we all process and organize information differently. We've known this. Everybody knows this. We didn't invent this idea, but what we did do is take these ideas, develop a way to understand, okay, I have preferences. It's like left and right handedness. I am all these, we'll get to it. Brain types, right? There are these 4 brain types.
Call them the Oracle, the Alchemist, the Explorer, and the Architect. Can you pick 2 that are maybe one that you think is me based on what you know of me, and one that would be the opposite, or your own types, just to give me a concrete example of how different people operate differently?
Yeah. So our guess, would be that you're an alchemist.
Okay. And someone who prefers to leave things open-ended and need a lot of variety to thrive.
again, I don't just like type people by talking to them, because we're not talking about personality. That's like, you know, disclaimer. We're just talking about how you process information.
Okay.
And it's ultimately for you to decide.
Okay.
But this is a person who loves variety. This is a person who's an abstract thinker. Their reality is abstract, and they live in a world of possibility. The world is malleable. Anything is possible. And a lot of times these are some of the greatest thinkers, not to stroke your ego, but these are some of the greatest thinkers of all time. You know, the Da Vinci's, the Einsteins, these are people that really saw the world as open-ended.
Okay.
With that comes sometimes an ability to start projects, but not necessarily see through the details.
That's why I would think that I'm more of an oracle. I'm looking at the description, the two sentence description that you guys have on Amazon. I process data points to hone in on one specific outcome, and I tend to fixate on one idea for a long time. Like, think about how many different businesses people have gone through in the time that I've run Mixergy, because I'm obsessed. Does that sound right?
It's you're gonna. If I were you, I would take the test in full and find out. But
you know what I did, So you're saying I'm an alchemist. That's more open-ended, love variety, sometimes don't complete things. All right. So then how would the journal, for example, change for me versus someone who's an explorer who lives in the moment and needs a lot of freedom to thrive?
So this is where I think Chad really came in on the product. And so where him and I somewhat divide and conquer is I'm more on the marketing side and thinking about development and marketing. Chad really is, and especially as an explorer, appreciates beautiful things and wants to create beautiful things. And so a lot of the reception we've gotten on the planner is that, holy shit, this thing is like really high quality and beautiful. But as far as the materials are great, but as far as like how they differentiate, I mean, like I remember Chad would ask me the craziest questions, like, should this line be dotted because of this person's brain type, or should the lines be slightly like, should it be a box or should over here, should we break this up into three sections? How's the spacing here?
I mean, so you're saying for someone who is more methodical, you want clear lines, clear descriptions, and clear tasks in the guide, in the book. Am I right?
Well, every type, it's displayed differently. So for me, for my brain, I don't want a list of things, you know, where Armand does.
Right.
Okay. So I want just like chunks of my day. So the way it looks is different. And then the prompts, things that I need to do to help me thrive, are different than him. And so that those two things, the way it looks, should feel better for you want to do it. And then the thing it focuses on is actually what you're needed to thrive as that type. And so that's really the focus that we did on this planner, is to make
Wait, I'm looking at a page within Amazon, and it says there's a box where I'd say I'm grateful for, and I'd fill that in. Today I will find time to focus by, etc. And then on the right, there are the most important work tasks and personal tasks that I can list. Which personality type am I looking at there?
The Oracle, right?
The Oracle, right. Oracle Daily Pages. And so the Oracle is somebody who is, let me see, lots of data points, hone in on one specific outcome. So if you were to take the exact opposite of that, what would their journal look like if I had that in front of me?
So there's basically a spectrum of the brain types. There's the abstract side, which are Oracle and Alchemist. And there's real world, which are architect and explorer. Okay. And so if I'm, you know, an architect, my secondary brain type is the Alchemist. But that isn't necessarily, that's actually the one that's closest and most similar to me. But just to use that as an example, you know, for me as the architect, like the prompt that I have is that what I need in order to thrive on a daily basis and have more focus and more flow is actually balance and order. So an architect has a tendency to need to put things into order all the time. Like, I have this whole list of stuff that I know I need to do, and it's all in my head. As soon as they get it out of their head and they put it into order and they order their environment, they start to feel like at peace again. They also are the most likely to be a workaholic,
okay,
to burn out, to take on, you know, an insane number of things. And so what they need also is balance, and this doesn't come naturally to them. And as you were saying, on the opposite of that, the Alchemist, the difference between the two is that my core nature is concrete and real world as an architect. As an alchemist, the secondary type, that core nature is more abstract, like we were talking about guessing what you are. And so,
okay, so here's what I see as I look at them. For one type of person, they're clear lines under what my brain dump is for today, what I'm grateful for today. The other person, other personality type, it's just an empty box. They could write it on an angle. They could write as many different lines as they want. So it's two different types of places to enter information. And then one group of people for like the architect personality type, there's a brain dump where they could just dump out all their ideas. For the other type, which is the explorer, there is no brain dump. They would just want a notes section, for example. So what you decided to do was say, everybody thinks differently. We're going to customize this for the four big group types that we see out there in the world. We're going to create these journals first and then create an app. Am I right?
Yes.
And that's the unique part that you guys did. The app came right from the beginning.
Yeah, it's a component. It's not an absolute, I mean, I don't know how you describe it, but it's a companion app for the system. Like, you could get away with not using it, but you're just not going to get the full value of the awareness that comes with the system at all. I mean, that's the differentiator. That's like how you actually will develop the ability to change a habit.
Or, what was your thinking about why would you want to have an app? Is it that an app can prompt people to come back?
Well, it's many things, and this goes into the vision of what we're building. But essentially, it's like, you know, we all want to get better. We all want to evolve. We all want to have this certain feeling about our days. And so, you know, what can you do when you're just writing in a journal? You don't even know, you know, biofeedback wise, why you're stopping or why you're not completing. So the app is actually what we pictured as Evo is like this, you know, avatar of the app helping you finish the things that you say you're going to do, or helping you find your flow. And without the app, we don't have that intelligence. We don't have that data. So again, most of our whole principle is getting you to actually do these things and be this way instead of just buying a product and not doing anything with it.
And so once I finish writing in the journal, I then take a scan of the journal page. It goes into the app. You've recorded that I've done it. And there's a streak of how many times I've done it.
Yep.
Got it. And this is part of what you're thinking of. Hey, look, I created apps. I know how to make things sticky. I know how to get people to come back and feel competitive. That's part of it. The fact that this is the only journal app that I know of where I could add my friend and we could keep track of how we're each doing is
part of life.
The smile on Chad's face.
Yes.
That's it.
So he loves hearing this. He's like, wait till you see all the other features.
What am I missing here that's also good for marketers to understand?
What else are you missing?
Yeah, what else am I thinking? Am I missing as I look at this? That's a really good sticky thing that comes from your experience in apps.
Yeah, I think it's just finding a home of where people can, you know, really lean into, you know, the things that are most important to them, and friends to keep it sticky. But also, I think, you know, what we're doing now is we're building content into the app. So, you know, we're going to find influencers, their morning routines, their ways of doing habits, their ways of, you know, this Oracle. You know, The Rock is going to, so we're going to have all these different, you know, content pieces in the app that are going to help people just, you know, push play and listen to it, because everything's audio now, right? So we want to wake up, hit a button, listen and learn and actually do this activity. So that's another big component of it.
That I get to learn about how to prioritize my day better. I get to learn how to express gratitude. You're kind of thinking of like, here's what's happening in the calm.com world, right? Yeah. That's what they created. Headspace created something. Okay, so you're thinking
Mind Valley. Whoa.
So now I get your idea. I get how it's all coming together. And I get why every time I say it's just a book, you say it's more than that. It's got it. I also like how in the app, there are certain things that then trigger the monthly fee of $2.99. So you guys are also thinking about that business proposition about getting
some. Yeah, we're shifting a lot of these things. Like even what you were saying before about the planners, like we literally just submitted a new design. We change the design of the planner every month based on feedback. As far as the business model on the app, we shifted that. That should be gone in like a couple of weeks, where we just have one subscription now for the entire system. So they basically buy their initial planner and they go on a monthly subscription that then allows them to have credits toward future Evo planners and also unlock the premium features in the app. So we're doing a sort of audible.com credit subscription style thing that has actually been like remarkably successful.
Like, how have you tested it?
I'm sorry?
How do you even know? How did you test it?
It's live already on our store and
on your website.
On our website, yes. Yeah. No, it's not something we can do on Amazon. And so when people actually go to check out, I mean, we've been running it for a while now and our conversion rate on it is insane. And we keep testing it and fine tuning it and making it better. And so it's only going to get better from here. But people want to stay in flow. Like that's the whole differentiator is first they have language to identify who they are. Mm-hmm. They love that. They know who they are. They have identity now or a more concrete understanding of their identity. And then they're like, well, shit, the system actually helps me do more of what I love, feel better on a daily basis. I don't want to lose that. And so the idea of locking into the program and not dropping off to them and losing their flow is huge. And so we did the subscription, not because we were like, oh, how do we make more money? Because we were like, how do we serve this customer? We serve them by not letting them drop off, like by staying in the system and continuously.
I see it now. I went into your store, I hit purchase on a book, and it immediately said, wait, don't break your flow. Would you rather just upgrade to an Evo member? You'll get $5 off today, then you'll pay only 10 bucks a month, and you'll receive credit for a new Evo planner every 3 months. So that means you're paying right now, and you get the app, you get a book every 3 months, and got it. All right, so this was the idea. Now let's talk a little bit about marketing, right? Everyone has a good idea. You guys actually have customers. The first thing, as I understand from your conversation with our producer, Brian Benson, the first thing that you guys did was you said, let's put together a reservation list, right?
Right.
How did you put together, this is a list of people who want to, who pay ahead of time or they are committing to paying. What do they do?
Deposit down of $5 to commit to purchase one when we went live on Kickstarter. Okay.
How did you get that group of people to pay $5?
We put a funnel together. We tested different versions of the funnel. I think we had most people go through our assessment, our free brain type assessment. I think most of them, though, we actually just led to a pretty simple landing page that told and announced them that this was coming, that this Evo planner, this Evo flow system was coming. And it gave enough information that it got them excited to go down to the next step and put down $5 to get the best ever pricing, like better than the day one pricing on Kickstarter.
Okay.
So these people got the planner for like $20 maybe.
But we pre-sold it months and months before they even came, and they didn't even know what it was. And so that was an amazing feat.
Yeah, they really didn't know what it was. Even the image of what we showed them was not what they got entirely. We improved it. We made it better.
Chad, how much of this list came from your audience?
I mean, Chad and I both had audiences that we promoted to, but this was a new audience that we built. This was an entirely new audience that we built.
Yeah. How'd you get this audience? Facebook ads?
Yeah, a lot of Facebook ads. We put together different ad campaigns. We promoted ourselves. We pushed traffic different ways. We pushed our own traffic. We got people like Andrew Warner to tell people about it.
Did I do that?
Yeah. Just like,
was I part of it? I didn't realize that I did it. I'm sure if you guys asked me, I would have done something, but I don't remember.
I need people like you. You know what I mean?
Okay. You're saying you went out to friends. Like I saw that Lewis Howes, for example, was listed on one of the Kickstarter pages. I have so many tabs open. I can't even tell where. Oh, what's their connection? Are these people actually helping you? Are they investors in the company? What's the deal?
Yeah. So as an example, specifically Lewis, no, he's not an investor, but he's just a friend who's helped a lot, and he's talked about it a lot on his podcast a few times, and not even as a sponsorship, just as a
We have like core friends, influencers that are involved that love the mission. That this is sort of the nice thing about where we're at, is we're able to also do that for other people, and then our brands, people love it, they just want to be a part of it. So we have that opportunity, those people.
I wonder how you guys meet these people and get them to just help promote your stuff for free. Because influencers are expensive and nobody, they don't want to talk to new people. Let's go into Chad first. Chad, what do you do that gets you all these friends? Is it going to summit series and things like that? Is it something else?
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of it is, you're just around the right people, right? So summits, a lot of, Robin's network, a lot of masterminds, people that are doing, cool shit in the world and making that a priority. And I think like anything, you I don't think it's something that's taught. I think if you care about people and you show up and you want to give value, then
how do you give value? And so I picture you being someone who's just super chill at these events, and I'm the opposite. I'm like, let's organize a dinner. Let's organize a scotch night.
That is not Chad.
Breakfast. Really? I need my own space when I run, but I better do a running group. But you don't do that. No, you said Armand's laughing at me. That's not Chad. What is Chad's process then?
Yeah, my process really, it's more of a, and maybe it is my explore piece where it's more intuitive. And I sort of just, I show up, I'm open, but I...
You go deep.
Yeah, I go deep with people, but I let myself sort of, who is this? What is the connection like? Who is the person I want to get to know? And then when I find that connection, I go super deep.
What do you mean by super deep? Spend a lot of time together, smoke weed?
I mean, sometimes maybe. But no, I really just, spend a lot of time. And really just, I don't know. I think I have a loose term sometimes with like family, friends and all that. But to me, it's just somebody I'm like, wow, I want to help this person. I love this person. And and it's authentic. Right. I don't want anything in return, you know? So I think that's the deep. Those are my friends too. The people that want to show up that way for me. Wow. Okay. You're like that. Yeah. Let's roll together. Let's do life.
The other thing that I think you've got is you've got a nice, cool attitude about you. I'm the opposite. You've seen me move several times in this interview. I cannot sit still. The only thing that will get me to sit still is if there's like food or alcohol or something for me to play with. Right. You look like you're comfortable enough with yourself that the world is going to come to you. You don't have to keep doing anything.
Well, I appreciate that feedback. I want to thank that. And I think it's just lots of practicing over and over, right? Showing up a certain way and just playing life.
What's one part of you that's worked on? I don't want to just walk away thinking he just walks into a room and he's comfortable and he's looking for, what's one part that if you had to be honest, this is my Andrew Warner part where it's a little bit like rigged, but it works.
Yeah. What is the one part of myself that's
methodical about meeting people. That's methodical. When you really want to meet someone at an event, you're going out to summit, your mind is going in, should I have been here? Is it worth the money? Is it worth my time? Will anyone like me? Whatever. Yeah. What's the one thing that, you know, if I do this thing, I could bring myself back to sanity and get results from being here.
Interesting. So, all right. Yeah. I have been in those moments and I'm very clear with the one person that can help my mission. So if it's a copywriter, if it's this person is aligned in this way, so I can quickly see a room and understand who that person is. And then I'll be natural about it until I need to be ballsy about it. So I'll be natural, we're talking, but all of a sudden if I got
hard ass,
an hour left or 30 minutes left, like I'll just come in and I'll do my homework on the person and just really be very authentic about giving them value. Like, I know this is what you want. I have this, especially with my app background, like a lot of people are in apps. So like I have that as a carrot already and being able to help them on an app, maybe marketing, maybe something else.
So if you didn't know Armon, and Armon was an event, Armon's a great writer.
Yeah.
Amazing. And you needed a copywriter. You might go up to him and say, listen, Armon, I've done a bunch of research on you. I think you've got an app in you, especially this thing that you wrote about a few months ago. How about I help you work on an app and maybe you can help me because my copy really stinks. My marketing on this stinks. That's the way that you would approach it.
No, I wouldn't. I would never make an ask ever. I literally would go up with the intention of this is me country. Like I like this guy. I want to help. And then that's it. And it really doesn't come with a hook. Like if he never gives back to me, I don't actually care.
Oh, really? You but never I'm, have with the hard ask. It's just, can I help you with this?
Yeah, it's more of like, I want people that I can play life with, business and friendships. And I think that's obviously why I've created my life that way. And so I'd be really authentic. Like this guy can help me in so many ways outside of copywriting. Like he has things that I don't have and I probably will never have. So I'm just very raw, I think, with the meeting. And usually it opens up, like some partnership opens up, some understanding opens up.
Okay. You know, Lewis Howes does that really well. I've said that he met me when I was in Argentina. He brought me and my wife a t-shirt. There was no request. There was no nothing. And I just felt like, he's standing out. And even Olivia remembered him forever. And it works. Yeah. I get it. So that's what you're saying. And so then when you come out with this book, after having done this for a while of building relationships, you have a bunch of people to call on. Armon, what about you? You were introduced to me through Neil Patel. Neil Patel doesn't have time for anything, but right. He's the one who's telling me, Andrew, you should get to know this guy. How are you getting to know all these people? Do you have a process?
I'm similar to Chad in terms of process, but our personalities are pretty different. And our approach is sort of different sometimes, but like we kind of go through the same process where I think I fumbled and stumbled in my first couple of years of being an entrepreneur. I had a scarcity mindset. I needed things to work. I needed to make money and I misfired a few times. And I was like, okay, that doesn't work. You can't just come out and ask people for stuff. Like it just doesn't work. And now I have empathy for those that come up to me and they're like, Armon, could you please help me with blah, blah, blah? Cause I made that mistake. Like I get it. And I actually end up coaching those people and I'm like, hey, can I give you a better approach? Like, don't talk about yourself for at least the next 3 years. Like basically just add value to others. So what I did was I went hardcore the opposite direction. Actually, I just dropped it. I just dropped the need to meet somebody for something. And I've talked about this a lot in general, but it's this idea of like, I target the people that I actually want to be friends with. I mix business and friendship and I see somebody who I may or may never do business with. And I'm just like, that person's awesome. And I really want to be friends with them. I did that with Jason Silva. He's literally one of my best friends right now. that we've never done business together. I did that with Neil. I did that with Lewis. I did that with Tim Sykes. I've done that with Lori Harder. I've done that with, you know, you. We've never done business together. You were introduced to me, and I was just like, this guy's cool, and I offered to help you with stuff. And that's it, and we drank scotch. And so that's the approach. It's just this very organic, like, I don't care what I get out of this. I just actually want to be around people like this, because entrepreneurship can be lonely. And the way of thinking in my model of the world, I need people around me that get it, that get my life. Like, I need that. I just do. So, and then sometimes it ends up where, like, someone like Lewis says, hey, you guys want me to throw, like, send me, he, you know, casually. He was like, guys, send me a planner so I can talk about it on the show. And we're like, oh, okay. You know, there was no, like, it's just casual.
You know? All right. Let me talk about my second sponsor, a company called TopTal. You guys need to know about these guys. I just had scotch here Monday night. I'm practicing to use the equipment that we're going to be using to record interviews with entrepreneurs around the world. I'm running a marathon on every continent. I want to meet entrepreneurs. I need to take my stuff with me. I did a great interview here. And as I'm sitting there, I go, screw it. I'm doing a live ad for it with these people watching so that I get a sense of whether I'm being a douchebag as I talk about my sponsor. And as I do it, one of the people in the audience says, Andrew, I've used them. I said, for what? He goes, for proof. For proof. He goes, yeah, proof. If you guys probably have seen this, when you go to buy something on certain websites or enter your email address, maybe as you're like on the border trying to decide whether you should do it or not, this little widget thing comes up in the bottom left corner of your screen and says, hey, Chad from San Francisco just bought one of these journals. Hey, Armand from Sacramento just bought one of these. Like, all right, this is proof that there's some activity here, right? You get to see the person's face, get to see where they're from. That's what proof is. It's doing over $200,000 in sales. When he was starting out, he was just a guy with like an idea. He was just a guy who was a content marketer. He wasn't a person who had access to Google level developers. He heard me talk about TopTal. He actually used my URL. He got a top developer and he built this thing up to, last I talked, I'm actually downplaying it because I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, but it's over 200,000 easy in revenue for proof. All because he started out using TopTal. So many people who I've interviewed have used them. If you're out there looking for developers and you want to get the best of the best, not the cheapest, not the ones who, actually everyone goes to either the cheapest or they start to do their own hiring process. So it's not cheapest and it's not a long-term hiring process. You just hit this URL that I'm about to give you, press the button, you'll get on a call with somebody and you'll tell them what you're looking for. Go to toptal.com/mixergy. Top is on top of your head, tal is in talent, toptal.com/mixergy. When you throw that /mixergy at the end, you're going to get 80 hours of TopTal developer credit when you pay for 80 hours, blah, blah, blah. I've said this forever. No risk, 100% satisfied. Read all the details there. toptal.com/mixergy. You'll love them. Okay. How long did it take you when you went to Kickstarter to launch? How long did it take you to actually hit your goal?
56 minutes.
56 minutes. Really, how much money?
Daddy, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm proud of that.
That was
one.
Good.
Well, the producer asked us yesterday.
That's true.
What was the goal? You just talked to the producer yesterday?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fast turnaround with us. Usually people have to wait months. I'm glad that you're on. So you were aiming for $20,000 in sales, and within 56 minutes, you got that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you closed out $367,158.
Right.
Right. No, actually, your goal was 15,000. I take it back. So you hit it really fast.
Mm-hmm. That's the pre-list that we set up.
It's because of the pre-list, because yes. You went back to all those people who put down some money and you said, yeah, it's time.
Yeah. I mean, the idea was like, you know, hitting that goal as quickly as possible to really accelerate the Kickstarter algorithm and get ourselves as much of that organic through Kickstarter as we can possibly get, and really exposure. Like, okay, they hit their goal right away. There's momentum here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what else did you do to get more people to buy from you on Kickstarter?
On Kickstarter,
did a lot of different things. Yeah. And this is where you ran a lot of it, I remember.
Yeah, I mean, so we experimented with ManyChat. We had that as like a silver bullet, which was really, really powerful. It did do what it's been, you know, the rumors around, you know, you can get an 80, 90% open rate. It did get that. And it was very successful. I don't know if I would do that all over again, just because you're paying a lot to acquire that subscriber.
You mean you'd pay a lot of money to get somebody to come to a page, hit a button, and then subscribe to getting your messages via Facebook Messenger?
Yeah.
And it all started with ads. And
I think once you've used that bullet, it's kind of a silver bullet. I don't see people really, I don't think it's like something that, this is again, just from my subjective experience with it, I didn't see it as an opportunity to keep messaging these people and getting them to take more actions. unless you really invest in like content with them and building that relationship via Messenger,
right.
You have to do that. You can't just be like, oh, we're just right. gonna mailing things to them to click. So you get that. We had that as a silver bullet. We have a unique funnel in the sense that we're lucky that we sort of both intentionally as a result of like, this is what the product needs, and accidentally in the sense of like, this is helpful for marketing, had an assessment to lead people to. That's not just like some hogwash, you know, quiz to find out something about yourself that's, you know, developed through some plugin. Like, it took a lot of work. And the organic nature of that, the viral nature of identifying your brain type and getting people to share. So you get one person to take that. You probably get three people as a result of that one person, because they're like, what's mom?
I saw that in the app. I saw in the app that I, as soon as I got in, it wanted to know who I was. And then it gave me the opportunity to share. But before you had that, when you were in Kickstarter, how did you get people to take this quiz to see who they were and then share it?
We did have that. And we were basically running a lot of ads to our assessment, and then basically going through the process of identifying their brain type. And then, hey, by the way, you got all this value. There just so happens to be a system that's personalized for you. And then we would lead them to Kickstarter.
So first an ad to know what you're, who you were. Then once you know who you are, tell your friends so you can that's see the who values. They are. And then, by the way, we have this journal that will help you.
Yep. Yep. At the right timing of everything. And I think for us, we spent a lot of time on the video and making that like just really professional. And we doubled down on that video. And yeah. I think it really helped us, because people, once they watched that, they were in, you know, and they wanted to talk about it.
What did you do in the video that was so effective?
I think we're just kind of crazy with our standards. Like, honestly, like I think that's part of it, is like whatever the video would have been, we 10x'd it. Like, we didn't accept the video as it was by the producers, by the people that we worked with. We were just like, no, like push this. No, try a different clip here. No, try a sound there. Like, we pulled an all-nighter maybe a couple times, like before the video and the Kickstarter actually went live, like just obsessing about every detail. But I think what we did in the video is that we were rational and logical with our proposition. And we also like really tapped into the emotions that we are all feeling right now. And that's where you started, was around this idea of like, I don't know if I buy this idea, if I'm burnt out or not, or I feel it all the time, but like, I don't think I want to change. I 100% think that many people today are feeling that. I know that. Oh, yeah. I know that they're upset. I know that they're unfulfilled. I know that they want more for their lives. That's why this resonated.
I saw that. It wasn't just the journal. It wasn't just your personality types. It started with the way we think about success is wrong, or the way people think about success is wrong. Let me give you this new framework. Andrew trying to work himself to the point where he's going to be too dizzy to sit in this chair. That's not right. We're taking a stand. Now, by the way, we have this thing.
For got you, it. Andrew. We're taking a stand for you. You deserve better.
By the way, as we're talking, I'm still doing research on you. Like you talked about doing this, this personality test or assessment. I'm looking to see what software you use. I know you guys had a WordPress site in the beginning. I just don't see what tool you use.
We didn't use a software. We actually built it into our WordPress site.
Using what? Like a form plugin?
Yeah, there was a plugin, but now we built it differently than it used to be. I think it was built on a plugin before.
Okay.
And then now we've rebuilt it. The current version is different.
All right, let me continue then. So Kickstarter, after Kickstarter, you guys go to Indiegogo. So Kickstarter was what, 300,000 if I remember right? I don't see it. Somewhere 250?
368, I think. 360, something like that.
368. And then you go to Indiegogo and you launch again with $1 million. Why do you go back to Indiegogo after you launched already?
I think because from a marketing, from a business perspective, Kickstarter requires exclusivity. And if you've gone on Indiegogo, you can't go on Kickstarter. And so once we finished Kickstarter, we rolled over to Indiegogo and we're like, why not? While we are building out this business, why don't we continue, you know, this crowdfunding effort? Like, let's just keep going. It just makes sense. And so then we got all this momentum and everything that was working, all the systems that were already developed, let's just keep using them while we go and build out our site, our funnel, our system. Like, building, like, you can't take the success of even those ads and apply them to your own store. It's a whole new business and a whole new ballgame you're developing.
I don't crowdfunding is.
crowdfunding is, right. But even just like the whole business that was developed, there's no proof of a model for Shopify. You're starting from scratch. So we needed time to go figure that out. And we're okay. Like, why don't we just...
So you're doing Indiegogo. You now, what did you do differently that allowed you to 3X your results?
Well, that was just a factor of, I think, time. I think the acceleration of those results of people actually sharing. I think that we learned more. We got more data. We had more people that were sharing and spreading the word. We had people that finally received the planners and went, holy shit, oh my God, this is beautiful, and started telling people about it. So we've had like 3-4 shipment waves while that Indiegogo was open, you know? And then so I think that led people to just obviously like, look, it's real. Like, I got it. And more people purchase it.
Okay. You told our producer, Brian Benson, you said, look, we tested everything. We tested driving people to brain type assessments. We tested events. We tested sponsored events. We tested influencers talking about it, et cetera. What are sponsored events, or what'd you do with events? Let me see if I can stand up.
I think what I meant by that was...
there it is. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Sit down, stand up desk.
Yes. I think I was talking about like... sponsoring, yeah. So we sponsored a lot of people know Genius Network.
Yep.
So, you know, we sponsored that event with Evo planners. We gave like 250, 300 Evo planners away.
To all the attendees?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's like what's that. His name? The guy who used to be in the carpet cleaning space? What's
Joe Polish.
Joe Polish. Yep. That's his event. So everyone who went to his event got one of these journals. How does that help you sell more?
I don't know.
Just like, hey, let's spread the word. Maybe one of them will talk about it.
7 figures or more. They're business leaders. We don't know how to measure it. We tried to measure it to the best of our ability. We put a QR code on there. We tried to measure like, what does this lead to sales and whatnot. But I mean,
it's a tough one. On that one, it's like those people typically are like, you know, they're amazing people and they have the same problems we all do, right? Finding our flow, burning out. So we're thinking, okay, if this can help them, then they're going to talk about it in the world. And they have major, you know, audiences. And so it's really just getting into relationship with those people and knowing that we have an amazing product that will actually help.
Did you have to pay Joe to or Joe's people to be able to do that?
No.
No.
Okay. All right. So you gave it out. What worked best? For getting more sales in Indiegogo.
Number one thing.
What worked? What's one of the things that worked?
I think there was the thing that we can control and the thing that we couldn't that just happened, you know? I think that what worked best is all the obsession into creating something that actually helped people up front. Mm-hmm. And that led to, you know, how do you measure virality? How do you measure something, you know, 1 = 3? I mean, how do you do that? It's difficult. So that worked for us. Like, okay, just making sure that it actually worked. That the benefit of like that the assessment actually gave people serious results and a major aha. And the part that we could control outside of that, I think, was getting really experimental with our ads and just doing interesting things.
And that was you sitting down on Facebook ads, Google ads, you making those adjustments?
No, neither one of us is very good at that.
Who did that?
We've worked with different people. Right now we're working with a company called eBoost.
Okay.
San Diego.
I don't know eBoost.
Yeah. There's a friend of a friend. They're really, really awesome, amazing guys. I actually highly recommend them. Highly recommend them. They're extremely professional.
What do they do that's so different?
Their attention to detail is just awesome. And they just are constantly experimenting and their standards are high like ours. We also used an agency called LaunchBoom, and one of the people at that agency was pretty rock solid with Facebook ads. Very different approach, far less methodical, more experimental, but obviously got us a lot of results. So those guys were good too. We've tried a few different like media buyers.
Yeah, I feel like it's less about the one tactic and more about, again, the standard of how's the video look? How's these screenshots? How's the story? What about the like? We were just methodical about that. And I think in this day and age, there's such a gap between people that just throw stuff up and even try to these like one-offs and then people that actually take the time to do it the right way. And I think we really did. And luckily, you know, like I have some app stuff, but I don't have copy. I don't have his mind. So it's like our collaboration is the only reason this was able to do so well. And I really, as our team was built, we were able to lean on each other because we're all different types.
What about this?
I really saw the power.
One of you told Brian in the pre-interview that Chad mainly did lifestyle stuff where he could build it. What does that mean? Was Chad just hanging out?
Well, before Evo, it was mainly, I was building up app companies and selling them off. And I was all lifestyle.
Just like enjoying your life. That's what it is. And so the hard part is now you got to get down to work with someone who cares about
responsibility. Like the difference between being a solopreneur or entrepreneur that is fully like able to be, you know, free in that sense.
Yeah.
Versus like, oh, we're executives building a company and founders.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought freedom was very different than actually, I think we both thought freedom was like, that was okay, make a lot of money, chill out, have no responsibility. But really, if you don't dig deep within yourself to find out what you actually need to do and show up for your perfect day, then you're missing out on this whole other piece of life.
I think we prevented another crisis of meaning by making this shift. I think that if we would have stayed like lifestyle entrepreneurs, we would have ended up empty again. It's the best thing we've ever done. It's also the hardest thing we've ever done.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm telling a person I'm supposed to meet, I want more time with you guys. I'm texting him saying, no, I need more time. I need more time. Armand, one of the things that stuck out for me about your blog a long time ago was like, all the photos are you in these beautiful spots and you're actually enjoying yourself and enjoying the fact that you're being photographed. And I can't get to that point. I always need to do something. Like, I can't sit still. Even I took this photographer who did really good work for me and I said, we can hang out, but first let's go have alcohol. I swear I'm not that much of a drinker, but I needed him to understand who I was. And I said, don't have me just sit somewhere. I can't do it. It's going to always come across phony. Have me be too bothered to be photographed. Moving all the time was great. It was great. But you're enjoying yourself. Like, look at this on the bio on the right side of your site of Armand Asadi. You're sitting on this wall, this beautiful, looks like Italian countryside behind you. And you're smiling and like enjoying yourself. Not a care in the world.
Yeah. Those are those fleeting moments though where my now fiance, will actually like force me to take a photo. So
so you're laughing like, all right, I'll do it. I'll sit here and do it. All right, let's talk about selling on Shopify. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy as people say it is. It's not easy at all. There's no built-in market. Most people just want the Amazon shipments, right? So what's one thing that has worked for you there?
Hmm. Yeah, we've had a lot of amazing things that work for us there.
Yeah.
If you need help with some prompts, I kind of looked you up on SimilarWeb. For some reason, it looks like LinkedIn was sending you guys traffic. Were you writing articles on LinkedIn that got you traffic?
We didn't.
No.
You didn't. Okay.
No, honestly,
and then
I would
Get Swoto. What is Get Swoto? They were sending you some traffic.
I mean, we did some we got some referral traffic from different things. Like we got hit up by Forbes. I think that helped for a bit. It gave us some domain boost and some extra traffic. We did a cool interview with them. But I think that it was the momentum of there was a lot of excitement behind this planner. Yep. Mm-hmm. And when people finally started receiving it, I think a lot of our traffic is direct and it came from people just being like, Evo Planner, what is it?
Let me find it.
And our website finally went live and they're like, oh, I don't have to buy it on Indiegogo. I can buy it on,
and get
buy
it on fast. You know.
And then we built up this email list of people that were, we've had a lot of buyers, but a lot of them never bought. So when we finally announced that we're live on our own site and shipping and we're totally in stock, I think that also created another, positive effect. But it's the accumulation of all these things. And you're absolutely right. Shopify's not easy, but we're lucky in the sense that we've been developing and building a list of people for a year that were interested in the concept of brain type, in flow, in focus. And so they make the decision to buy right after taking the assessment or 1 year later. Like, we don't know when they're going to make that decision. So we just keep investing in like educating them and giving them content, and they suddenly decide like, today's the day I'm getting the system.
Want to close out with tips for creating a product that you're proud of. Product creation can be really tough. I know you guys have had issues with labeling and stuff like that. For anyone who wants to create a book, a product at all, what tips do you have based on your experience creating?
Yeah, I think the first one is just cliche. Everyone knows it, but few, I think, actually follow through with it is build something that you 100% know your customers want. And so, it's easy as an entrepreneur, as a visionary, as someone that feels so close to your customers to build something you think they want.
But for us,
how'd you know they wanted it?
What?
How'd you know they wanted it? Surveys?
For us, yeah, it was building that relationship beforehand and sending them surveys, sending them, what about this? What about this prompt? Do you like that prompt?
And so got it. And the prompts are the text in the journals that gets people to write. Where did you go to have them printed?
Very far.
We went to China. We literally
flew to China to go check out printing.
Yeah. Different materials and
toxicity, pollution, poisoning.
So you guys were looking at each individual page, looking at what it would look like printed out.
Multiple factories.
Did they make the book for you there so you could see it, or that took a while?
We would get samples sent to us, back and forth. But like what we got to see there was like the bulk materials, the raw materials.
Yeah.
How did you know which factories to go and talk to? Sorry, Chad.
Well, I was just going to say, I remember that moment of like, we actually had samples. When we left China, I remember getting a sample of probably the first time after a year that we went back and forth. We had a million iterations. We finally had the material. I remember like holding it on the plane. It's like, yes, my little baby, yes. It was so
it's actually exactly true. And you kept smelling it.
Yeah. That was a weird thing that I can't figure out myself. But
he still smells the plant.
Yeah, it's some type
every time we get a new one.
I get it. People who don't switch to Kindles will often say there's something about the smell of a book.
Yeah.
If it's your own book, so much sweeter. All right. The website is, and they don't want me to just focus on the fact that it's a journal, even though that's where I spent most of my time here. It's this idea that we all think differently, we all achieve flow differently. And if you want to read more about that, go check out projectevo.org because .com would be a little too commercial for these hippies. Projectevo.org. And you know what? And I like you guys both individually a lot. And then I still, as people know, I go into like the app store to see maybe their app actually sucks and I could bring that up. Maybe people don't like the app. No, sure enough, the app is good and people really like it. You have a lot of high ratings. Right? It's like over 1,000 people already have rated it. 4.5 stars, much more than Evernote.
I didn't know that.
All right, guys, go check them out. And I should also thank my two sponsors who made this interview happen. The first will get your stuff designed right. They'll even do books. I should have said this in the ad itself. Websites, brochures, books, business card. Nobody needs a business card anymore, do they? Whatever you need that's designed, get a crowd of people to design it for you at designcrowd.com/Mixergy. And if you want to hire a developer, really great developer, the best of the best. This is so many people who I've interviewed have started their businesses like that. Dave from Proof. Who was it? Nathan Lotka, when he took over a plugin that he bought, he went directly to TopTal and said, now here's how I need you to add some revenue to this thing. And they added a revenue feature for it. So if you want to be like so many people who I've interviewed who've gotten great results, go to toptal.com/Mixergy. And finally, what's like the last thing I should be promoting? Oh, here's the thing. All right, I got to tell you guys, this is something I'm super excited about. I interviewed this guy, Scott Bintz. He cannot pronounce e-commerce right. I shouldn't say this. I'm a little embarrassed that I did it, but he built this company that sold car parts online, truck parts online, got it to a few million dollars, was unfulfilled, didn't love it. And he started going out to different companies to learn how to improve. And he went to Tony Hsieh at Zappos to see how he did it. He went to Google. He took pictures of himself, like the whole thing. And he learned about culture. And then he came up with this process for culture. And he then went to his team and said, here's what we all as a company believe in. Every month, we're going to take a different part of our culture and we're going to implement it. And we're going to reward people for it and so on. I did a course with him. And then this year we're doing that. We're saying, look, here are the six things that you have to know if you're working at Mixergy. Like one of them is you have to act like a CEO. Don't come to me asking for permission to do stuff. If stuff breaks, you have to act like a CEO and lead it. And if you can't do it, you're really going to not do well here. Another one is we do less. Just keep looking around and not say, what can we do more of? But what can you eliminate? What could you eliminate? It's so liberating. People now on our monthly call, because that's what this month's goal is, everyone has to find something they do less of. People feel so liberated. At first it was like, Andrew, I don't know. I was thinking maybe we shouldn't do, and they tell me what we shouldn't be doing. Like maybe we should test out like not putting so much effort into the subjects of our posts. Maybe all people care about is the company name or whatever. I don't know. Great, let's test it. Let's see how it works. It's so freaking liberating. Some ideas work, some won't. We love it. It's helping us really enjoy working together a lot, all because I created this course with Scott Bintz, the guy who started out with a few million dollars, actually started out with zero, got to a few million dollars, got plateaued, then came up with culture, took his business over $100 million, spent so much time with me talking to me about culture. We created this course. I'm following it. If you're out there and you're not getting your company to grow in unison, you got to go check out this course. Even if it's not like full, I don't have employees because I don't work well with employees. I work with the team of people who's consistent. Listen, if you want to go check it out, and that's part of the reason why, Chad, I never thought that I needed culture because I don't really have people who work here in my office. I don't, but I realize it's part of my culture and I should enforce that. Anyway, if you're out there and you want to go check it out, it's mixergy.com/Scott. Scott Bintz is freaking phenomenal. I love that guy. Or get his book, Scott Bintz. Mixergy.com/Scott or Scott Bintz's book in Amazon. That was a little bit of plugging at the end, wasn't it? Was that shameless? Be open with me. I'm watching your faces as I do it. And it's like, okay, when is he going to be done?
You're doing your thing, man.
Yeah, those are some well. Good tips.
Yeah.
Very good tips.
Doing your thing.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, guys. And I hope to see you somewhere in San Francisco, but I'm guessing I probably won't.
I'll see you somewhere. We come up a lot. Yeah. Thank you for the thoughtful questions, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on here.
Yes.
Bye.
Brother.
Bye, everyone. Take care.